Captain's log, stardate 1329.8. The USS Enterprise in pursuit of an unidentified vessel.
There he is, sir. Center screen. Still trying to run away from us, sir.
Don't lose him, Mr. Sulu.
No, sir.
Kirk gets out of his chair for a closer look at the yellow vessel in the view screen.
Earth ship, Mr. Spock?
Difficult to say, Captain. We're getting no registration beam from it.
If it is, he'll soon overload his engines.
Sir, he's pushing his engines too hard.
Changing course again. He knows we're after him, all right.
Stay with him, Mr. Sulu. Communication?
I've tried all frequencies, sir. He refuses to answer, unless he's not receiving us.
Well, he's receiving us, all right.
Approaching an asteroid belt, Captain. Schiller rating 3-5.
Deflector's on, Mr. Farrell.
He's seen an asteroid too, sir.
Stay with him. He'll try to lose us in them.
If one of them hits him...
Sensor reading on the vessel, Captain. I make it out as a small Class J cargo ship. And his engines are superheating.
Try to warn him. If he loses power now...
There go his engines, sir.
He's drifting into asteroid belt, Captain.
He's had it. Unless we put our deflector screen around him.
Captain, if we try, we'll overload our own engines. He's too far away.
In the view screen, asteroids stream past both vessels as they enter the asteroid belt. Kirk purses his lips.
Cover him with our deflector screen, Mr. Farrell. Scotty, Spock, stand by in the transporter room.
Aye, sir.
Scotty leaves the bridge.
We're protecting him, sir. We won't be able to hold it long.
An alarm lights up.
We're overloading, Captain. Engine temperature's climbing.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. Mudd's Women. A dense swarm of asteroids sweeps past the Starship Enterprise as it follows the drifting cargo vessel.
This is the engine room. Temperatures are passing the danger line.
Our deflector screen's weakening, sir. We can't protect them much longer.
On the bridge, the lights dim and come back on. Sulu turns to Kirk.
That was one of our lithium crystal signals, sir.
Bridge the transporter room. If you don't start beaming that crew over soon...
They're not answering our signal. Nothing to lock onto.
The lights dim again and return.
Another circuit, sir.
Kirk hurries to the science officer's console on the upper level.
I'm getting a distress signal call from them, sir.
Scotty, we're getting a distress signal.
We're locked onto something, Captain.
Spock and Scotty operate the controls as McCoy looks on. A large, piratical figure with a handlebar moustache materializes, wearing a raffish hat, a single earring, and a puff-sleeved jacket. He tucks his thumbs into his belt.
Meaning no ingratitude, gentlemen, but just where is it I find myself?
You're aboard the USS Enterprise.
That's really a darn beautiful ship, isn't it? Really a beautiful ship. Oh, the name, gentlemen, is Walsh. Captain Leo Walsh.
How many more in your crew?
Just a few more.
Your vessel's breaking up, man. If we don't get them over here right now...
Well, we couldn't be sure he was a friendly vessel now, could we? But the three of them will be in position right about by now.
On the bridge, the lights dim again.
Another lithium circuit. Now supplementing with battery power, sir.
Scotty, how many of them did you get aboard?
Only one, sir. But we've locked onto three more.
Which one?
I don't know, sir. Were those three lithium crystals gone?
Best it'll take longer on battery. Never did trust this thing in the first place.
There she goes.
A yellow fireball blossoms in the middle of the screen and as quickly dies away.
Asteroid.
hidden dead center.
Bridge the transporter room. Their vessel has been hit by an asteroid. It's gone. Did you get the crew off?
Not yet, sir. But we've hooked onto something.
Three beautiful young women, one with raven hair dressed in green, the other two platinum blondes in pink and blue, materialize on the platform. They pose seductively in spangly dresses, either figure-hugging or revealingly short. Walsh casts a knowing eye at the transporter crew.
Kirk to transporter room, report.
Spock glances, puzzled, at Scotty and McCoy, who stand either side of him, gaping, moonstruck, at the three sultry new arrivals.
It's all right, darlings. We're in good hands.
Bridge to transporter room.
We're clearing the asteroid belt now, Captain.
Deflector screen down, Mr. Carlton, sir.
Captain to transporter room. Are you reading me or not, Mr. Scott? Bridge to transporter room. How many did we get off?
Oh, four in all, sir.
The captain of that vessel can walk. I want him in my cabin immediately. Correction.
I want them there whether they can walk or not. Kirk out.
That fella sounded a mite upset, didn't he?
McCoy.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Spock looks at the doctor, who's grinning foolishly.
Curious. You're certain this was everyone aboard, Mr. Walsh? No other crewmen?
Oh, no, that's everyone, all right. But so far as the ladies actually being the crew...
You can explain that to the captain.
Walsh lowers his eyes ruefully, and Spock leads him out of the transporter room. The three beauties follow, each with a slinky wiggle of her hips and a last pouting look at Scotty and McCoy. Scotty lets out a sigh.
Amen to that, Scotty.
In the corridor, crewmen gape and crane their necks as Spock ushers the women into a lift.
I'm sure these starships are really something marvelous. But men will always be men, no matter where they are. Hey, mister, you'll never take that out of them. You're part Vulcanian, aren't you? Hmm. Ah, well then, a pretty face doesn't affect you at all, does it? That is, not unless you want it to. You can save it, girls. This type can turn himself off from any emotion.
The women step out of the lift.
I apologize for what he said, sir. He's so used to buying and selling people.
I'll handle the conversation, darling.
Walsh ushers the blonde in pink out into the corridor. Spock knocks on the door to Kirk's quarters.
Come. The commander of the transport to see you, Captain.
Good. Now, if you don't mind telling...
Walsh doffs his extravagant felt Stetson with its upturned brim, but it's the three women who follow him into the room that leave Kirk speechless. Spock watches with a dry smile, arms folded.
Hello.
And the ladies? Is this your crew, Captain?
Oh, well, no, Captain. This is me cargo.
The raven-haired beauty in green bites her lip. Kirk gulps.
Captain's log, stardate 1329.1. We have taken aboard from unregistered transport vessel its captain and three unusual females. These women have a mysterious magnetic effect on the male members of my crew, including myself. Explanation unknown at present.
Well, how the devil am I supposed to know this is a starship, Captain? Here I am with a cargo of young lovelies. A strange ship comes up alongside. Well, naturally, I did my best to evade you. And starship, Captain, or no, you exceeded your authority when you drove me and mine into a shower of asteroids.
Your name, please.
Walsh, Leo Walsh. You destroyed me ship, Captain.
Mr. Walsh, I'm convening a ship's hearing on your actions. Mr. Spock will supply you with any legal information you may need for your defense.
You're a hard-nosed one, Captain.
And you're a liar, Mr. Walsh. I think we both understand each other. Security? Escort Mr. Walsh to his quarters. Confine him there.
The crewman leads Walsh away to where the three women are waiting. Kirk watches him go with a faint smile. On the bridge, Spock is in the captain's chair. Sulu gets out of the lift with the duty navigator, John Farrell, who slumps against a wall, moping.
You're on duty, Janio.
back to reality.
You can feel their eyes when they look at you. Like something grabbing hold of you. You notice that?
I noticed. How I noticed. Johnny, okay.
Scotty comes over.
Trouble, Mr. Spock.
I'm well aware of that, Mr. Scott.
One lithium crystal left, and that with a hairline split at the base.
Better rig a bypass circuit.
Can't. We blew the whole converter assembly.
Kirk here.
Need it on the bridge, Captain.
Harry, what are you supposed to do?
Shh, calm down now. Do you mind waiting outside?
Sorry, sir.
Well, now, answer every question they put to you. Don't lie. Well, you no need to, have you? And don't submit to a med... That is, being so healthy, they've no need for a medical exam, have they?
But what if they ask us
they
about...
They won't. Have you no place to go, lads?
Not a sweat.
No, they won't. You just let Leo take all the hard questions. Now, don't be panicking, loves. We'll get to...
Get where? We don't have a ship and we're headed the wrong way, Harry.
Leo. Leo Walsh is my name, darling. Don't forget that. So lovely. Lovely, aren't they? After they'll only think lovely thoughts, they smile. Well, they'll come out right some which way now, won't they? My personal guarantee on that.
Kirk comes to the bridge to confer with Spock and Scotty.
The entire ship's power is feeding through one lithium crystal.
We'll switch to bypass circuits.
We burned them all out when we superheated, Captain. That jackass Walsh not only wrecked his own vessel, but in saving his skin...
It makes you feel any better, Engineer. That's one jackass we're going to see skinned.
But it's frustrating. Almost 1 million gross tons of vessel depending on a hunk of crystal the size of my fist.
And that crystal won't hold up. Not pulling all our power through it.
Well, Mr. Spock?
There's a lithium mining operation on Rigel 12. High-grade ore, I've heard.
Location and distance.
Mr. Farrell has the course. Less than 2 days' travel.
Make for Rigel 12, Mr. Spock.
Rigel 12, Mr. Farrell. You have the course.
Captain's log, stardate 1329.2. On board the USS Enterprise, a ship's hearing is being convened against the transport vessel's captain. I am becoming concerned about the almost hypnotic effect produced by the women.
This hearing is convened. Stardate 1329.2 on board Starship USS Enterprise. Formal hearings against transport captain Leo Walsh. Start computer.
Spock switches it on.
State your name for the record.
Leo Francis Walsh.
Incorrect.
Your correct name.
Walsh glances at Scotty, McCoy, and Farrell.
Gentlemen, surely you're not going to take the word of a soulless mechanical device over that of a real flesh-and-blood man.
Spock sighs.
State your correct name for the record.
Harry Mudd.
Incorrect.
Harcourt Fenton Mudd.
Any past offenses, Mr. Mudd?
Of course not. Gentlemen, I'm simply an honest businessman.
Incorrect.
Blast that tin-plated pot.
Full data coming on screen.
The dark-haired woman turns to Walsh.
If he can read our minds, too.
They can't, darling, they can't. Just what's on the record?
Offense record, smuggling, sentence, suspended. Transport of stolen goods. Purchase of space vessel with counterfeit currency. Sentences, psychiatric treatment, effectiveness disputed.
Mr. Mudd, you are charged with galaxy travel without a flight plan, without an identification beam, and failure to answer a starship signal, thus affecting a menace to navigation.
What, my tiny little ship in this immense galaxy? A menace to navigation?
You're also charged with operation of a vessel without a master's license.
Untrue. I have a master's ticket.
Incorrect. Master's license revoked. Star date 1116.4.
All right. Well, very simply, Leo Walsh, who was to be my captain on this trip, passed away suddenly. I had no choice but to take out my ship my own self, did I? Well, I assumed Leo's name for this voyage out of a courtesy to him, in memoriam, as it were. A fine, fine man. Alas, gone to his reward.
Destination and purpose of journey?
Planet Ophiuchus 3. Wiving settlers.
Come again, Mr. Mudd. You do what?
I recruit wives for settlers. A difficult but satisfying task.
Data on witnesses.
The computer scans the three women. Mudd wipes his hands nervously.
No data.
Computer, go to sensor probe. Any unusual readings?
No decipherable reading on females. However, unusual reading on male board members. Detecting high respiration patterns. Perspiration rates up. Heartbeat rapid. Blood pressure higher than normal.
Now that's sufficient. Strike that from the record, Mr. Spock.
Do you see, gentlemen? Just as I told you. Three lovely ladies, destined for frontier planets, to be the companions of lonely men, to supply that warmth of a human touch that's so desperately needed. A wife, a home, a family. Gentlemen, I look upon this work as a sacred public trust. I've devoted my whole life to it.
Incorrect.
Well, I'm about to start devoting my entire life.
Did these ladies come voluntarily?
Well, of course. Now, for example, Ruthie here comes from a pelagic planet, Sea Ranchers. Magda there, from the Helium Experimental Station.
It's the same story for all of us, Captain. No men. Mine was a farm planet, with automated machines for company, and then two brothers to cook for, mend their clothes. Canal mud, a foot thick on their boots every time they walked in.
Fine, Evie, fine.
No, it's not fine. We've got men willing to be our husbands waiting for us, and you're taking us in the opposite direction. Staring at us like we were Saturnius harem girls or something.
That's enough, Evie.
The only charges are against Mr. Mudd. Illegal operation of a vessel. Do you have any defense to offer?
Only heaven's own truth, which I've just given you.
The officers at the table exchange skeptical glances.
The hearing is closed. Mr. Mudd to be handed over to the legal authorities at our earliest opportunity.
Eve, the blonde in the long, figure-hugging pink dress, goes over to Kirk.
And what about us? What happens to us? Help us, please, all of us.
Miss McCurran, if you don't mind.
The lights dim. Scotty comes back.
The last crystal, sir, is gone.
Captain Kirk, engineering section reports our entire life support system is now on batteries.
Mr. Spock. Miss McCurran, please.
No, please.
Would you mind? Mr. Spock, will you contact the miners on Rigel 12? Notify them that we'll need the lithium crystals immediately upon arrival.
The doors close on Mudd, the women, and the security detail.
Oh, you beautiful galaxy. Oh, that heavenly universe. Well, girls, lithium miners, don't you understand? Lonely, isolated, overworked, rich lithium miners. Girls, do you still want husbands? Evie, you won't have to be satisfied with a mere ship's captain. I'll get you a man who can buy you a whole planet. Now, Maggie, you're going to be a countess. Ruth, I'll make you a duchess. And I...
He looks around.
I'll be running this starship. Captain James Kirk. The next orders you're taking will be given by Harcourt Fenton Mudd.
He puts his feet on the table.
Captain's log, stardate 1330.1. Position 14 hours out of Rigel 12. We're on auxiliary impulse engines. Fuel low, barely sufficient to achieve orbit over the planet. Lithium replacements are now imperative. The effect of Mudd's women on my crew continues to grow, still totally unexplained. Harry Mudd is confined to his quarters under guard.
In the dispensary, McCoy switches off a biomonitor screen.
May I come in?
He turns around. Ruth, the raven-haired woman, leans against the doorway.
Yes. Please do, by all means.
She glances at McCoy's assistant as she comes over.
Connors, are you finished?
Connors hurries away.
I was wondering what this place looked like.
She comes and stands in front of the machine, her long green dress slashed up one thigh and diagonally across the bodice, revealing her flawless skin. Two lights on the bioscreen flash erratically.
It's fascinating.
Would you walk past my panel again, please?
Your what?
My medical scanner.
Oh, why? You're not giving me an examination, are you?
Oh, no, I wouldn't trust my judgment, believe me. Just walk by, please.
Ruth stands in front of it again.
He's not supposed to do that.
McCoy stares at the screen, distracted.
I wondered, will you be examining the miners on Rigel 12?
Yes, if they need it.
You mean you haven't asked yet? Are they in good health and all that?
What?
He grins.
Oh, yes. They're in excellent health. All three of them.
Oh, three.
She saunters past him.
Are you wearing some unusual kind of perfume or something radioactive, my dear?
No. I'm just me.
I wonder what makes it do that.
Captain? I hope you don't mind.
Eve is lying on the bed in Kirk's quarters. She gets up.
As a matter of fact, Miss McHurona, I do.
Well, I was trying to take a walk and I just had to run in someplace, you see. I mean, all your men were looking at me, following me with their eyes.
Yes. I'll have to talk to them about that. They don't do that ordinarily, Miss McHurona. Somehow, in your case, and the ladies with you, it's...
Well, they're probably just lonely. I can understand loneliness.
Yeah.
He gazes into her eyes.
Yes, now, Miss McHurona, if you don't mind,
I suppose you understand it even more. I mean, having to run a huge ship like this with so much responsibility every minute and having to be so careful with all your men looking up to you.
She rests her hands on his shoulders.
Well, it probably appears more difficult than it is.
I read once a commander has to act like a paragon of virtue. I never met a paragon.
Kirk swallows.
Neither have I.
Well, of course not. No one is. But some people try to pretend.
She goes to kiss him.
Do you, Captain?
Miss McHurona, I don't...
Oh, no. Oh, I just can't do it. I don't care what Harry Mudd says. I do like you. And I just can't go through with it. I hate this whole thing.
Eve hurries away. Magda, in her short blue fringed dress, wiggles along a corridor towards Mudd's quarters, the object of all eyes. The guard steps aside to let her in. Mudd is talking to Ruth.
Just three, you're sure?
Yes, the miners are healthy and fairly young.
Later, dear, later. Magda, did you get to your communications van?
The head miner is named Ben Childress. The others are Gossett and Benton.
And they've been there...
Almost 3 years now. Alone.
Perfect. Perfect. Three of them and three lovely ladies has Harry Mudd. And lithium crystals, my dear, are worth 300 times their weight in diamonds. Thousands of times their weight in gold.
But they'll be down there. And we'll be up here circling 100 miles above them. And there's a guard outside your door, Harry. You can't get out of your cabin.
No, my dears. After one more little job for you, it won't be Harry Mudd that's trapped. It'll be a gentleman named James T.
Eve comes in, upset.
I don't like you. And I'm not very happy with myself either.
Well, I'm not really surprised. I've seen you noticing the captain.
We're supposed to notice them. Oh, Harry,
I don't feel very good. I think it must be near the time.
On the bridge, discipline is slipping.
I asked for a pre-orbital course, Mr. Farrell.
Pre-orbital course locked in, sir.
It's the last time I'm giving an order twice, gentlemen. Without a battery power, we're low on that.
They'll get us to Rigel 12, sir, but it'll be a shaky orbit.
Just hang us in there long enough to get 6 crystals, Scotty. That's all we need.
I'll get you there.
Dickens. What are we running here? Did you examine? Did you examine Eve?
She refused.
Well, come on, you're the doctor.
Spock eavesdrops, amused.
What is it? Is it that we're tired? And they're beautiful? And they are incredibly beautiful.
Are they, Jim? Are they actually more lovely, pound for pound, measurement for measurement, than any other women you've known? Or is it that they just, well, act beautiful? No, strike that. What are they, Bones?
You mean, are they alien illusions, that sort of thing?
I asked you first. No. An alien smart enough to pull this would be smart enough to keep my medical scanner from going bleep.
I don't follow.
I don't either.
Tap space frequency 39.
Magda hands Mad a communicator. He beams.
Rigel 12. Rigel 12.
This is Rigel 12. Come in, Enterprise.
Well, this isn't exactly the Enterprise. My name is Harry Mudd. To whom have I the pleasure of speaking, sir?
The starship approaches a marbled blue and white planet. Sulu and Fowl at the con turn to Kirk.
Power curve still dropping, Captain.
We'll make orbit, sir. A temporary one.
Lay in. Computer?
We can sustain this orbit for 3 days, 7 hours.
More than enough time. Communications, have a representative of the Rigel 12 miners meet us here to discuss our need. Beam them up, first pass over the camp.
Yes, sir.
What's happening? Look at my face!
The women are becoming haggard and plain. Mud frantically rifles through drawers.
It's a pierce.
What if someone sees us like this?
You'll never find them, Harry. And if you do find them, you know what they are. A cheat. If you care for someone, really care.
For whom, Evie? For Kirk? You'll find out the ship's captains are already married, girl, to their vessels. You'd find that out the first time you came between him and the ship. You'll see.
I'm going back to what I was. Ugly.
Myself like this.
Why did you hide them, Harry? Don't you trust us?
I didn't hide them, girl. I put them in a safe place in case I was searched.
Fine to pay, Harry.
Mattress. Yes, here.
He gives one pill each to Ruth and Magda. They swallow them eagerly, heads thrown back, fervent expressions on their faces. Eve, sitting nearby, plain, wrinkles in the corner of her eyes, watches but doesn't move. Mard offers her a pill from the silver box.
Go on, Eve. Take it. It's not a cheat. It's a miracle. For some man who can appreciate it. And who needs it?
Almost reluctantly, she takes one in her hand, gazing up, disillusioned at Mudd's bland, unctuous smile. He turns to look at Ruth and Magda. The two women, no longer plain, luxuriate in their restored beauty, running their hands over their hourglass figures. Eve looks at the glowing red pill in her hand and clenches her fingers around it. Spock holds a lithium crystal.
Even burned and cracked,
They're beautiful. Destroying them was a shame.
Not at all, Mr. Spock. The choice was burning this lithium crystal or the destruction of another man's ship. Come.
Sir, Mining Chief Childress and Mr. Gossett.
Good, show them in. I'm James Kirk, captain of the Enterprise. This is my science officer, Mr. Spock.
Let's get right to business. You want lithium crystals, and we've got them.
Fine, I'm authorized to pay an equitable price.
We're not sure they're for sale, Captain. We might prefer a swap.
What did you have in mind?
Mudd's women.
If we like them, we'd like to have a look at them first, of course.
Right. Try them out, Captain. Oh, and Harry Mudd. Either way, I've agreed to have him released. Charges dropped.
Spock sits.
Is there anything else?
You've got no choice, Kirk. You beam a landing party down and you won't find one blessed crystal.
Kirk looks at the two men narrowly.
No deal.
He sits. Gossett turns uncertainly to his bald, unshaven companion, Childress.
You're a long way out in space, gentlemen. You'll need medical help, cargo runs, starship protection. You want to consider those facts, too?
Come along, ladies, come along. You must be Ben Childress. Come on now, girls, come on.
And you must be Herm Gossett.
Yes, I reckon I am.
One thing I'll say for you, Mark. You're not a liar. Ladies, you are welcome.
It's still no deal.
Conserving batteries, sir, half power.
I'm told they have only 3 days of orbit left before they start spiraling in. I do hate to see you suffering such a situation, Captain, but truth is truth. And the sad fact is, you will deal. Sooner or later, you'll have to.
Down to surface of planet Rigel 12 to acquire replacement lithium crystals. Expect further difficulty from miners.
Kirk, Spock, and Childress materialize on the planet. Dust blows over the sparse rocky landscape. Behind them, a gray geodome squats beneath a dirty pink sky. Wind generators and light banks rise from the roof. The three men head towards it. Below the dome, a cramped set of rooms have been carved out of the rock. Inside, Magda is chatting happily to a rough-looking man, Benton, the third of the miners. Ruth is dancing with Gossett. As Kirk brushes the dust from his uniform, he meets Childress's hostile gaze and goes towards him. Eve, standing at a small window nearby, glances up at the captain.
All right, Childress, you've won. Now I'll take the lithium crystals.
When I have the time, Kirk.
Childress goes over to Eve.
Childress.
We're busy, Mr. Kirk.
Eve looks at Kirk sadly. The captain turns away and comes over to Spock.
You don't have the time to spare, Captain.
You got a better idea?
Childress stands behind Eve, gazing out of the window.
It blows like that all the time. You can get lost a dozen feet from your own doorstep. The wind comes up suddenly.
The light flickers. The miners glance up.
Magnetic storm. That means the wind will really rip soon.
Dance with me.
Magda slips her arm around Benton's neck. Mudd looks on indulgently. Childress moves into Eve's eyeline.
Would you like to dance?
On opposite sides of the room, Kirk and Mudd both glance at Eve.
No. I'm sorry. I guess it must be the dust.
That's the way it is on Rigel. All the time.
Childress leaves her, goes over to Gossett, who's dancing with Ruth, and cuts in on him. Gossett gives way with a smile and goes over to Benton, who's dancing with Magda.
Hey. Go away. I'm cutting in. Not on me.
The two men start to fight. Everyone tries to separate them. Eve runs for the door.
What's the matter with
you!
Eve turns back.
Why don't you just run a raffle and the loser gets me?
Kirk runs after her.
Hey, come on, Sonny, you'll get killed!
Just have those crystals here when I get back.
Kirk vanishes into the dust storm. Out of sight of the geodome, Eve gropes blindly through the rocky landscape. Sand fills the air, some particles as fine as dust, some as large as snowflakes. Eve, with no protection other than her long pink dress, collapses. Captain Kirk struggles through the sandstorm, searching for her. Eve gets to her feet and staggers further into the wilderness. Unable or unwilling to hear, she battles her way through the storm. Childress, too, is out in the sandstorm looking for Eve. Later, Kirk and Mud have transported up to the Enterprise.
Transported aboard the Enterprise to implement search with infrared scanners and sensing system. Magnetic storms on the planet's surface are cutting down speed and efficiency of our equipment. Search now in progress for 3 hours, 18 minutes.
Traverse parallel 3 and 4.
Checking. Did not gain much.
The storm is ionizing the atmosphere, Captain. Getting difficult to probe through it.
Captain, this is draining our batteries further. If we only had those crystals.
But we don't! I didn't get any. I should have found a way. Satisfied, Mr. Scott.
Losing communications with the miners, sir. Magnetic storm seems worse.
Has Childress reported in yet?
No, sir. He and the girl are still missing.
Kirk turns back to his chief engineer.
Sorry, Scotty. How much power do we have left?
About 5 hours, sir.
Kirk nods. Back on the planet, Childress helps Eve towards a geodome. Clouds of dust blow in with him as he opens the door. It's a different building to the one where the dancing took place, but its rooms are similarly carved out of the bedrock. Childress carries Eve into a small chamber and lays her on a bed. He gazes down at her for a moment, pulls himself away, goes back into the main room, and sits on a rough-hewn wooden bench. He lies down on his back and closes his eyes.
Captain's log. Have expended all but 43 minutes of power. Ship's condition critical. Search now in progress, 7 hours, 31 minutes. Magnetic storms are easing.
Infrared reading. Check traverse 3, grid 040.
About 11 miles, bearing 121 from the mining company.
That's Ben Childress's quarters.
There's a heat unit operating there. Could be a cook stove.
Have Mud meet me in the transporter room.
Mud?
The name of this game.
Inside Childress's quarters, Eve, dressed in an oversized green shirt, is cooking at a stove. Childress wakes and looks around. The room has been tidied, the table laid. He looks over towards Eve, cooking with her back turned to him, gets to his feet, and aims a dismissive kick at a chair tucked close to the table.
Hey, things where I wanted them.
I ate some of your food, so I paid with some chores.
He comes over to her.
And I do my own cooking.
He burns his finger. Eve smiles. Childress stomps away.
I've not laid a hand on you. Remember that.
Oh. With the sound of male ego, you travel halfway across the galaxy and it's still the same song. There. I'm gonna eat or talk.
I guess I'm supposed to sit, taste it, roll my eyes. Ooh, female cooking again.
Eve turns back to the stove. Childress sits at the table, picks up a fork, stabs at the food in the bowl, and puts it in his mouth. He pauses, raising his eyebrows in surprise, but quickly hides his pleasure.
I've tasted better. By my own hand.
Well, you're tasting some of it now. I couldn't scrape 3 layers of your leavings out of that pan.
Let me find me a well, some decent water, then talk.
Well, why don't you hang your pan out in the wind and let the sand blast it clean? Or haven't you thought about that?
Childress looks at her resentfully, but soon afterwards he's adding the frying pan to the other pots and pans he's strung out to scour in the wind-blown sand. Back inside the geodome, Eve is playing solitaire with a pack of circular cards. Childress comes in.
It might work.
He stares at her. The pill has worn off, and she's become plain.
There's solitaire?
Double jack.
And the red 8 ought to go on the black 9.
Not in double jack.
He moves away.
You're not only plain as an old bucket, you're not even good company. Well, what the devil happened to your looks anyway?
I got tired of you. I slumped.
You hear what I said? You're homely. I've got enough in crystals already to buy queens. Find the gross!
Kirk and Mard arrive.
I didn't touch her.
Thank heaven you found her.
She's been bubbling with gratitude ever since.
Sit down.
Mard and Childress sit.
Tell them. Tell them, Harry.
Ah, yes. Well?
The Venus drugs, Harry.
Venus drug? I've heard of it, but it's not just one of those stories?
Oh, it exists. Illegally.
Well, actually, you see, it's a relatively harmless drug.
Harmless?
Yeah, well, what it does is give you more of whatever you have. Well, with men, it makes them more muscular. Women, rounder. Men, more aggressive. Women, more feminine, and...
He gave it to the women before you met them.
Does that mean the others... they really look like she does?
Mr. Childress, I...
Is that what it means?
Yes, that's what it means.
Eve glares at Childress resentfully.
What happened to my partners?
They've left for their quarters during the storm, Childress. They're married. Subspace radio marriage.
Childress lunges at Mud.
It was a fraud. They can get out of it.
If they want to.
Why?
They can't condemn the women.
I can. Man goes out and fights. Almost dies. We all almost died. We should have, but we didn't. Now that we've got the good life in our hands, you bring us women for wives and...
You don't want wives. You want this. This is what you want, Mr. Childress. And I hope you remember it and dream about it, because you can't have it. It's not real.
She swallows one of the Venus pills. She has her back turned. Mud and Childress watch anxiously. Kirk glances at Childress. Kirk watches as Eve turns back to them, her beauty restored.
Is this the kind of wife you want, Ben? Not someone to help you. Not a wife to cook, and sew, and cry, and knead. This kind.
She perches on his lap.
Selfish. Vain. Useless. Is this what you really want? All right, then. Here it is.
Quite a woman, eh, Childress?
Fake. Pumped up by a drug.
By herself. She took no drug.
I swallowed it.
Colored gelatin.
Yes, they took away my drug and substituted that.
can't be.
There's only one kind of woman.
Or man, for that matter.
You either believe in yourself, or you don't.
Kirk gets up.
All right, Childress, I've gone as far with you as I intend to. I want those lithium crystals, and I want them now. Enterprises, Kirk.
Spock here, Captain.
Stand by. Do I beam down a search party?
No. The crystals are here. And you're welcome to them.
Stand by, Mr. Spock. We're coming aboard with the lithium crystals.
How many coming, Captain?
For evil stay. Today, at least, we want to talk.
Eve
turns to Kirk and gives him a loving but sorrowful smile.
You've got someone up there called the Enterprise.
Two of us, Mr. Spock. Come on, Mr. Mudd.
Mudd stops at the door.
Don't you think you could possibly, by accident, arrange to leave me behind here? On this planet, that would be punishment enough.
I can't do that, Harry. But I will appear as a character witness at your trial. If you think that'll help.
They'll throw away the key.
Mudd follows Kirk out of the door. Later, McCoy stands beside Kirk, sitting in the captain's chair on the bridge.
It must have been quite a talk you made down there. Ever try considering the patent medicine business?
Why should I work your side of the stream?
I'm happy the affair is over. A most annoying, emotional episode.
Smack right in the old eye. Oh, I'm sorry. In your case, it would be about here.
The fact that my internal arrangement differs from yours, Doctor, pleases me no end.
McCoy raises an eyebrow.
Course plotted and all systems in operation.
Engines engaged. Helm answering.
Scotty comes onto the bridge.
Out of orbit, sir.
My head full. My head full, sir.
McCoy leaves the bridge as the Enterprise heads off into interstellar space. This audio description was written and produced by IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.